right now, it's time for History Matters, taking a look back at this week in history with the one and only Scott Washington, impeccably dressed historian extraordinaire, who joins us here now in the studio.
How are you? It was cold. I had to get dressed
up. That's a very nice sport jacket you're wearing.
Thank you very much.
Suit jacket.
Well, you know, I am so excited to be here, and when I was hearing that theme play for Masterpiece Theater, and remembering the good English fellow who used to head that series for so long, I was reminded of another person from England who came to America with her family, the Blackwell family. She was born in 1821. They moved here. And then what is an interesting kind of twist, she decides to look into medicine and becomes a doctor, the first medical doctor in the United States with a medical degree in 1849. Her name's Elizabeth Blackwell, born on February 3rd, 1821. And she becomes a role model for so many women, and also not only both pro-abolitionist or anti-slavery, but also pro-women. And that's a remarkable kind of model to remind ourselves of this week. Also on that day, February 3rd, 1920, is another fellow born. And, not another fellow, but somebody is born on this date, 1920, Germany. He's grows up, practices as a physician, and then, and I love this, at the age of 54, he actually simplifies something because it's so common, people choking on food. Mm-hmm. His name, of course, is Heinrich Heimlich. And have you ever heard of that Heimlich maneuver where you grab someone around the waist if they're choking and you kind of pull in right between the navel and your sternum, and that that force of air forces things out. Well, that saved so many lives.
I was going to say, like, there are some physicians and scientists in history who just really made a huge impact with just a simple thing.
Like that. So those are two people. Also this week are three birthdays that I want to highlight, too, which is, and they're all on this February 7th. One is 1812, born 1812, dies 1870, Charles Dickens. Mm-hmm. Of course, we know him well. Another, she was born 1867, dies 1957, Laura Ingalls Wilder, Little House on the Prairie. And the other one is...
So one day is physicians and the other day is authors,
that's right.
Okay,
this is
good.
A great day to celebrate, you know, good week to celebrate authors and physicians.
If you were born on February 7th, start writing that book.
Right,
you're in good
right.
company.
Exactly. This is a good week to be inspired by our physicians and also by our writers. And the other one, he was born in 1817, lives to 1895, escapes from slavery, gets to England, buys his freedom. I'm not sure he needed to do that, but comes back, becomes a speaker, speaks at one of the first places was in Nantucket, and his name was Frederick Douglass, and becomes a published author. So those are three authors that are really good. They're fun to read their books again during these times, especially, like, who are we looking forward for inspiration? Now, of course, this week is also the beginning of Black History Month. And you may have already touched on some of these already. February 1st, the Greensboro sit-in was so significant.
We've not mentioned this week,
really?
So we need to pick that up again. I'm actually talking with, you might mention, we're talking about the Greensboro sit-in now. We might mention the Chapel Hill sit-in that was inspired by it. I'm talking with Danita Mason Hogans later today, and we'll have that interview in the next couple of days. And her father, Dave, was one of the Chapel Hill Nine who sat in. But that's coming up. We haven't talked about Greensboro or Chapel Hill yet this week, so I'm glad you brought it up.
Well, of course, this happens, now, believe it or not, February 1st, 1960, and four students go to the Woolworths in Greensboro, and they sit down, and this is where when it's segregated, and they sit down at the counter and refuse to be moved. And so that begins just months of protests, 70,000 people, 1,500 people arrested during that time. Mm. Woolworth loses $250,000, and then after about 6 months, they say, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
And that sparks movements across the country as people step up and sit down and begins realizing economic power to change things. And more importantly, the simple significance of individual people doing something. And we've seen that in this election when it was just ordinary folks voting makes a difference.
And it's significant with the Greensboro sit-in, and you know, we'll talk about the Chapel Hill 9, and the same thing happened in Durham, and like cities all over the South where these sit-ins happen. We think about those, like the, you get the phrase sit-in, and that seems like such a quiet and peaceful thing, but the people who did that were met with real violence and the threat of violence, and they were in a lot of cases risking their lives over the sit-in. So it's worth kind of highlighting that as well.
Which is so interesting because, you know, we think of course, February 1st is when Lincoln signs the resolution passed by Congress about the ratification of the 13th Amendment. Mm-hmm. And it begins this process. It doesn't get ratified until after he is assassinated. It's in December 18th, 1865. But you know, it's amazing that it takes not only the abolition of slavery, but then it takes the 14th Amendment saying, okay, yes, because there are people who are saying, all right, you've been freed from slavery, but you're not an American citizen. Mm-hmm. Takes the 14th Amendment and said, yes, people are American citizens who have been formerly enslaved. And then still there are people who said, okay, well, maybe you are, but you can't vote.
Yep.
And it takes the 15th Amendment. That's ratified this week, February 3rd, 1870. Which is just astonishing when you think, well, wait a minute, if that doesn't deny voting rights to people, why did it take another almost 100 years? And that's a whole different tale, which we all know very well and has its roots here in North Carolina and Wilmington and going forward. But progress continues because people stand up for the right. In fact, this is such a good week, and that's why this is an exciting week. Every week is exciting. I get excited about this. All right, here's one, Rosa Parks.
Yep.
Now, we always usually celebrate her December 1st. That's when she sat down on the bus in 1955. But she was born February 4th, 1913. Mm-hmm. But what we don't always know is that prior to this, like about some months prior to this, there was another young woman, a 15-year-old teenager, Claudette Colvin, who on March 2nd, 1955, she sat down on the bus and refused to get up. And this is just an inspiring story. It's not well known. She was pregnant out of wedlock at that point, and so people thought maybe not the best role model. But she stood up for this, and years later, people have recognized her contribution to set the path.
Yeah.
And she was glad to let Rosa Parks get credit, but she really deserves a lot.
I don't know if she was glad to let Rosa Parks get credit. I think she was a little bit disappointed that she didn't get more later in life, but still, like, really significant. We think about Rosa Parks as being like the symbol, but there were so many other people behind her and alongside her, and in the case of Claudette Colvin, in front of her, who paved the way for Rosa Parks as well.
Well, I loved what she said. When Claudia, you know, she's a teenager, and she's being told, and she's risking being arrested. She doesn't care. She sits there. She said, "History kept me stuck to my seat. I felt the hand of Harriet Tubman pushing down on one shoulder and Sojourner Truth pushing down on the other." Isn't that just great?
Yeah.
So we get the range of people who are both young, like Claudette, who's 15, saying, "You are never too young to do something good and great." And somebody older, like our German physician, who says, "Gee, I wonder if there's some way I can prevent choking," who at 54 comes up with something simple.
Speaking with Scott Washington, History Matters. One more. What do we got?
Okay, well, this is also the week when Groundhog's Day is celebrated. And, you know, it was fun to just, we all seen the movie, and it's fun to see that only because in Germany, where it comes from, it was the badger. But they didn't have badgers plentifully in Pennsylvania, so it became the groundhog.
I don't know if it would have been if it would have been as fun or as ubiquitous if it had been Badger Day.
Badgers are so much cooler than
they
groundhogs.
They are cooler.
Well, we use that term, we badger someone, you know, and that might be different.
That would have made it a very different movie.
Yes, it would.
Bill Murray just getting, like, chased around by a badger forever.
But it's a reminder that on these days, we celebrate things we have throughout the pandemic, and we not only celebrate these great milestones, these things that come up, but great people who, by their simple actions, have made a difference for good in our lives, and we are the beneficiaries, and we are the people who can do the same every day ourselves.
And that is how history matters. Scott Washington, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.